we get all tied up in knots, churning over things we can't control, or losing sleep over worries we can't dismiss, it's rarely about things from our past that trouble us the most, and it's unlikely to be things in the present. What gets us all riled up are the things we anticipate in the future. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll present another message in our study of Daniel. We're turning our attention not to the fascinating stories that mark Daniel's life, but to the prophecies that chart God's plan for your future. Chuck has titled today's message, A Prophetic Collage.
As we turn the page in our Bibles from chapter 6 to chapter 7 in the book of Daniel, we leave the relatively simple narrative and what we might call the biographical section to enter into more difficult and mysterious portions of prophecy. So we'll need to concentrate carefully. Through seemingly random and disjointed images, Daniel chapter 7 offers an overview of God's grand design for humanity, all of which was future to Daniel, but some of which is now past history to us. In this collage of prophecy, we'll see the sovereignty of God once again, and remember that we can trust in Him both for today and for tomorrow. This belief gives us hope for the present and the future. We want to begin the prophecy portion of Daniel in chapter 7, and I would like to read a few excerpts from this chapter, and I'll read them from the Message. We're in Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of the reign of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. What he saw as he slept in his bed terrified him, a real nightmare. Then he wrote out his dream. In my dream that night, I saw the four winds of heaven whipping up a great storm on the sea. Four huge animals, each different from the others, ascended out of the sea. The first animal looked like a lion, but it had the wings of an eagle. While I watched, its wings were pulled off. It was then pulled erect, so that it was standing on 2 feet like a man. Then a human heart was placed in it. Then I saw a second animal that looked like a bear. It lurched from side to side, holding 3 ribs in its jaws. It was told, attack, devour, fill your belly. Next, I saw another animal. This one looked like a panther. It had 4 bird-like wings on its back. This animal had 4 heads and was made to rule. After that, a 4th animal appeared in my dream. This one was a grisly horror, hideous. It had huge iron teeth. It crunched and swallowed its victims. Anything left over, it trampled into the ground. It was different from the other animals. This one was a real monster. It had 10 horns. As I was staring at the horns and trying to figure out what they meant, another horn sprouted up, a little horn. 3 of the original horns were pulled out to make room for it. There were human eyes in this little horn and a big mouth speaking arrogantly. As I was watching all this, thrones were set in place, and the old one sat down. His robes were white as snow. His hair was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, its wheels blazing. A river of fire poured out of the throne. Thousands upon thousands served him. Tens of thousands attended him. The courtroom was called to order, and the books were opened. I kept watching. The little horn was speaking arrogantly. Then, as I watched, The monster was killed and its body cremated in a roaring fire. The other animals lived on for a limited time, but they didn't really do anything, had no power to rule. My dream continued. I saw a human form, a son of man, arriving in a whirl of clouds. He came to the old one and was presented to him. He was given power to rule, all the glory of royalty. Everyone, race, color, and creed, had to serve him. His rule would be forever, never ending. His kingly rule would never be replaced. But as for me, Daniel, I was disturbed. All these dream visions had me agitated. So I went up to one of those standing by and asked him the meaning of all this. And he told me, interpreting the dream for me. And now verse 28. I, Daniel, was in shock. I was like a man who had seen a ghost. But I kept it all to myself.
With that helpful introduction, let's move ahead to today's message. Remember, you can find resources online at insightworld.org. Here's Chuck Swindoll to describe a prophetic collage.
I've got in my hand this evening a little picture I'd like to show you. It's framed like a picture. It's a work of art that some people have called a collage. C-O-L-L-A-G-E. Now, if I were to give you the balance of the evening, you could do some of your own interpretation of these fragments, these lines. But this particular collage has come out of a home of a family in our church. And the members of the family got together and gave the father of the family this framed collage as a present. For example, it says, "Wear Old Spice," something they think of when they think of their dad. This says, "The Greatest Talent." This one says, "Close." Just a little fragment, just a little line of an unfinished sentence that gives you a picture. This one says, "Best." This one says, "Soft-hearted." This one says, "Santa Claus." I like this. This says, "Not typical." And on and on. I suppose there are dozens, maybe hundreds of lines that form fragments of information. But all of this information has to do with one major theme. And the theme says, in effect, we believe our dad is the best. And this gift that we give him says that to him for all to read. Webster says that a collage is a composition of fragments of printed matter and other materials on a picture surface. That's a collage. Sort of a concentrated message made up of words and lines with no punctuation, just a mass of truth about a subject. That's a collage. Now in Daniel chapter 7, that's what we have. In the study of Daniel, you go through six chapters and things rock along pretty simple. It's a narrative. It's a series of sentences and chapters and truths about a man. It's biography. It's a narrative that conveys a biography. And you trace in the first six chapters of Daniel, this man, Daniel, from his mid-teen years all the way through to his mid-80 years. Got it? Dozens of years in the life of Daniel put together in six brief chapters that carry through trials as well as victories in the life of that prophet. But when you get to chapter 7, All of a sudden, there's a collage. Bits and pieces, fragments, portions, even some things unfinished, but later finished in the book, sort of spilled out on the page of Daniel 7 that at first looks like what I just showed you at first glance. It just looks like fragments of information that carry no meaning or a very little bit of a pattern until you dig in and study it. Just like if you could study this framed work of art, when you got through, you would know what that family thinks about their father, about their husband, because it conveys in its total frame the message. That's what we have in Daniel 7. We have a sweeping view of prophecy, none of it in great detail, but it's covering chunks of time, and it doesn't bother to put on the back a little answer sheet that tells you how to put it all together. There is a section that interprets it, but even that isn't that clear. So let's go through it with a collage in mind. Let's look for the pattern, but let's not be bothered by sections that are unfinished or left out or even some that are quite complicated and can't be answered. First of all, look at the chapter chronologically. That means in light of time. Verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Belshazzar has been mentioned in his death in this book, but we have seen nothing of his first year. So immediately we've got a problem. Chronologically, this chapter belongs at the end of chapter 4, just before chapter 5. Now, no reason to turn back. I just mentioned that because you can't study Daniel chronologically. Daniel gave us a survey of his life, and then when he gets to prophecy, he goes back and he picks up segments of truth that took place during his life that he didn't bother to mention for fear of messing up the movement of his biography. So when we come to chapter 7, chronologically, he goes back to another king. But the truth of the passage goes far into the future. Look at the chapter structurally, if you will. It says in verse 2, Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And then he reveals in the next verse that there were four great beasts that came up out of the sea. Now, you read that down through verse 7, down through verse 8, and then you come to a little notation that Daniel puts in the chapter. I kept looking. That's sort of a phrase he likes to use. And he uses it at breaks in the chapter structurally. So Daniel's on his bed at night, and he has a vision, and he sees these things, elements and animals and beasts, and that's covered through verse 8. And then he keeps looking. Verse 9, and he sees thrones set up and judgment taking place. So in this collage, we have elements and animals, verses 2 through 8. And then we have thrones and judgment, verse 8, verse 9, down through verse 12. Look at verse 13. There's that little word again, those words. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, someone interrupted. He is called one like a son of man. It's the Lord Jesus who steps in on the scene, and the Father passes to the Son the right to judge, and there is an intervention of the Son of God as he takes his place on the throne, and there's an interpretation of what Daniel saw in the vision. And then it's over. It just ends as quick as it starts. Verse 28, at this point, the revelation ended. Oh, I read that chapter and I thought, don't stop now. I just got to the place where I think I can get it in place, and I'm waiting for about five more verses that'll fill it in, and it's all over. It's a collage. It doesn't tell you everything, but it gives you enough for you to get a pattern in your mind of God's plan for the future as far as the nations are concerned. Remember, Daniel is the prophet to the nations. Okay? That's the structure. Let's go back. I probably should say something about the chapter as it is compared to chapter 2. So if you will take a sheet that you got when you came in tonight, this lime-colored sheet, and look on the back. I'll just let you fill it in as we go through tonight. I won't refer to it again. I just want you to notice there is a direct tie-in between chapter 2 of Daniel and chapter 7. Every serious prophetic student of Scripture points this out. So I want you to notice on the left-hand side the column that relates to chapter 2. That old king Nebuchadnezzar had a vision that Daniel interpreted, and it was a vision of a great statue, a great beast-like creature, a man, had a head of gold, had arms and chest of silver, had thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and feet of iron and clay. And we saw in that chapter that those things represented four different kingdoms: Babylon, and then Medo-Persia, then Greece, and finally the Western nations. And at the end of the whole thing, Christ comes and crushes the statue, and all of it crumbles, and he sets up a kingdom that'll never have an end as he finishes the scene with his kingdom that lasts forever. So, in reading chapter 7, keep in mind it's very closely aligned to chapter 2. If you forget that, it'll be confusing to you. Okay, now let's go into the chapter. The vision is revealed. Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. So what do we have? Well, we have Daniel as he is resting either during the day or in the evening, and God during the time gave him a dream or a vision. In those days of incomplete scripture, God often revealed his plan to his prophets through visions. Here's a case in point. Daniel is not expecting it, is not ready for it, but suddenly God gave him insight into the future. Everything in this chapter was future to Daniel, but only a part of it is still future to us. Some of it to us is history. Daniel said, as he began to write it down and tell the story, verse 2, I was looking, and I saw the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Now, I've had nightmares, and you have had nightmares, and sometimes they are so vivid, when you wake up, you're upset. You've had that experience, haven't you? You awaken in the morning and your emotions are all involved in the dream, and you can't really put it all together, but you're uneasy. In fact, that's exactly what happened to Daniel. If you'll hold your place and look at verse 15. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. As I pored over those visions, I became alarmed by what I was seeing. But it says in verse 2 that what he saw were simply the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea. Let me take a little side road here and give you some insight. This helped me in understanding that. W.A. Criswell, a First Baptist in Dallas, writes these words. There are four seas mentioned in the Bible: the Galilean, the Dead, the Red, and what the ancients call the Great Sea, which is the Mediterranean. Daniel doubtless stood on those shores many times as a youth. In the vision, he is standing on the shore of the vast Mediterranean. And at the heart of human civilization and of human history. While he's standing there, he sees a turbulent, violent storm extending as far as the eye could behold. The sea is shaken to its depths by the four raging winds of heaven. The number four in apocalyptic literature is a number that often represents the world. The four winds of heaven, the four seasons, the four corners of the compass, all represent the whole earth. We are told in the Bible that the waters which thou sawest are peoples and multitudes, nations and tongues. So what Daniel saw, the raging sea that was so distressed and convulsed, was a picture of social revolution and the passions of history. Daniel saw humanity as a great sea shaken from its center to its circumference. So that's what he was seeing. Now you'll notice that he doesn't refer to the winds and the seas again. He simply refers to what comes out of the seas, which in prophetic literature is a picture of what comes out of the nations. There were four beasts. Look at them, verse 3. The four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. So what we have in verses 2 through 8 are the elements and the beasts. The first one was like a lion. It had the wings of an eagle. It kept looking until its wings were plucked. It was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was given to it. So we have a lion that all of a sudden stands erect. It's winged and the wings are plucked. And it says in verse 4 that a mind like a man was given to it. That's all it says. Just a line in the collage. That's all. Next verse. There's another beast. A second one resembling a bear. None of these four say directly that it was that animal. It says it was like that animal. Because in each case, there's something different about that animal than is normal. Just like our dreams. Sometimes you dream of a person, but he has wings. Sometimes you dream of a house, but it's floating. Sometimes you've eaten too much, and it creates all sorts of things in your head as you're dreaming. But Daniel's dreams came not from indigestion, but directly from God. Here he saw a leopard. I should say a bear, verse 5, it was like a bear, and it was raised up on one side. It was lopsided. It had 2 shorter legs and 2 longer legs. So it was leaning over, this bear, and notice it had 3 ribs in its mouth, between its teeth. That's weird, isn't it? Here is a bear that walks along lopsided, and it has 3 ribs sticking out of its mouth. And they said to it, and the they is never identified, arise, devour much meat. Just a lion in the collage. Then it goes to a third creature. I kept looking, and another one like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Here is a 4-headed leopard with wings, and it has authority.
Today's study in Daniel featured complicated and sometimes strange symbols that test our thinking. You're listening to Insight for Living and another message in Chuck Swindoll's study of things to come called Daniel, God's Plan for the Future. Well, with this very first message in Volume 2 of our 2-volume study through the entire book of Daniel, now's the perfect time to order both sets for your collection. You can go online to purchase the CDs or to download the MP3 files at insightworld.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, you can give us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888. We'll hear more of this message tomorrow, and a personal comment from Chuck is coming up in just a moment. But first, we want to remind you about the vital importance of your donation to Insight for Living. Many listeners wonder whether or not their little contribution to the cause could truly help. But we can assure you that a gift of any amount is powerful. It's not the large gifts of a few that fuels Insight for Living. It's really the consistent generosity of our faithful friends like you and the small gifts from many that allow us to continue providing Chuck's teaching on your station. So don't allow the size of your gift to become a barrier to taking action. Now's the time to respond with your donation of any amount. So go online to insight.org. And when you give, we'll say thank you by providing a brand new and exclusive Christmas music CD just in time for the holidays. It's called All Is Well.
Robert Browning, the celebrated poet, said this about sacred music. This is music sent up to God. Great words, aren't they? And those words define my sentiment when I participated in a live concert we called All Is Well. It was the basis for our Christmas celebration at our church, where I serve as the senior pastor. And we recorded that special evening on CD for your benefit. As angels learn from our worship, and as God Himself smiles approvingly when we give our praise to Him, in those sacred moments we can be at peace and truly know that in God's kingdom, all is well. So let me urge you to add this exclusive CD to your collection of Christmas favorites. You will love it. In fact, you'll love hearing the full complement of orchestral instruments, the tenor and soprano, baritone and great bass voices, all blending together in unison for one grand celebration, all announcing that all is well.
All is well. That's the theme of the Christmas music CD from Insight for Living. And when you give a donation, you're invited to request a copy. Your generous donation today will help ensure this program continues on your station. When you give, be sure to request the Christmas music CD, All Is Well. If you're listening in the United States, you can call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Chuck Swindoll's study on prophecy continues tomorrow with a prophetic collage. That's Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, a prophetic collage, was copyrighted in 1976, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.